Let's pray. Lord, this is your word, and we thank you. We thank you that we have the privilege of being able to come and look at your words, to hear your word, to read your word, to listen to your word, to digest your word. Lord, to have your word hit the mark in our lives, to strike us, Lord, in the heart and in the head. And Lord, for that we need to have hearts and heads that are awake and alive and open to you. And Lord, we pray that now you would, by your Spirit, make us a teachable people. Lord, if there are things that are in my notes that need striking out, then I pray that you would strike those things out. If there are things that need adding in, add them in. For Lord, we want to hear from you this morning. And we thank you that as we come, we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So then, in our hike through Habakkuk, we have seen plenty of things going on, haven't we? We've seen Habakkuk moving from being a kind of perfectly puzzled prophet wrestling with God to a properly perplexed prophet waiting on God. And this, we'll soon see that we've come to the point, or at least Habakkuk has, of being a prayerful, praising prophet in his worshipping of God. So if you haven't yet, then please do turn with me to Habakkuk 3 so that we can read through this together and study together. We'll read through and I'll intersperse as the mood takes me. So there we go then. This prayer was sung by the prophet Habakkuk. It'd be great if I ask you to lead the prayers next week. Don't feel you have to sing them, but if you want to, that's fine. Habakkuk sung this prayer as a prayer of praise. I have heard all about you, O Lord. I'm filled with awe by your amazing works. Before we go on, I just want to ask a couple of questions. Well, first of all, I'm going to repeat that phrase. I have heard and I'm filled. So instead of me asking a couple of questions, why don't you ask yourself, and I'll ask myself a couple of questions. Have I heard and am I filled? Really good questions. They need really good answers. Have you heard about our God? If you've been part of the family here for a while, then you will have listened to plenty of biblical teaching and preaching. Because all of us who teach and preach here have a real heart for sharing God's word. But tell me, have you heard? Has the penny dropped as to whom it is we worship? Because we have a real heart for worship. You see the worship grouping action, you'll know that. They want to lead us into worship. Has the penny dropped as to whom it is we worship? I pray it has. You see, for Habakkuk, the penny had certainly dropped. Everything he heard about the living God filled him. Everything he heard filled him. Everything he experienced of the living God filled him. In the times where he screamed out to God, in the times when God answered, in the times that Habakkuk took watching and waiting and looking and listening in his prayer time, in those times the living God filled him. And when you're filled by God, you're filled with a holy awe and wonder. And that might sound a bit of airy and fairy to you, but it's not. It is true. When you're filled by God, you have this awe and wonder. You just cannot get a grasp of how amazing God is. When you're filled, you function differently. You face your life differently. You fearfully and you wonderfully hold on to the incredible knowledge of what God has done, of what he says he will do, and what he is doing in your life. In your life. See, God is actually interested in you. Not just us, but you. This is why the question is, have I heard, am I filled, because God is doing an amazing thing in your life. He has a plan, and he's doing it within his plan. And even though you cannot fathom why he is doing some of the things that he is doing, when you've heard and when you are filled by him, you will trust him. You will love him. You will hold on to him for dear life. Have you ever been stirred up like that before? Have you? God's desire and intention is that we are regularly and consistently stirred up like that. What a difference that hearing and that filling makes. It makes a huge difference. Pray right now that the Lord will draw each one of us here this morning to hanker after him and to be filled by him. And if you've been filled before, you need to be filled again. You need to be filled consistently, because being filled by God is a bit like being a bath. Think of yourself as a bath. Don't think of yourself in the bath. Think of yourself as a bath. And God has turned the taps on full, and he's filling you. But the plug's out, because he wants what you have to be shared with others. That Holy Spirit to be shared. His love to be shared. I pray that if you're not experiencing that in your life, you will. As we read Habakkuk, we have seen that he has been filled. How's he filled? By filling his life with all sorts of stuff and forgetting God, by doing other things, by finding distractions, by watching the telly, sitting on the internet, having his phone to his ear all the time, or playing Candy Crush, I don't know. Has that helped? No, it's spending time with God. That filling causes him to remember. As he's spent time with God, he's been filled and filled and filled. And it causes him to remember and to request, to remember God's faithfulness in the face of human fickleness, and to request. Request what? Well, let's read. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in the years gone by. Can't you just hear that pleading in Habakkuk's simple response to God? Oh, please, Lord. Please. He knew how God had been working through history, and he knew how once, in an incredible way, he had rescued his people, millions of people, he'd rescued them, and they'd responded. And Habakkuk wanted to see that again. He didn't see it in his lifetime, but he knew that when he prayed within God's will, and he knew this would be within God's will, he knew that then God in his time and in his way will always, always respond. So he pleads. What does he plead? He pleads, and in your anger, remember mercy. We might pray those words for our country. Does the UK deserve God's wrath and anger and judgment? Yeah, we certainly do. But his mercy is evident too, isn't it? Though we can see our world going to pot, God has mercifully provided for his church. God has mercifully provided his church for the world. But he's also provided for his church. By the power of his Holy Spirit, we're to live lives that show and tell his mercy. You see, it was in his anger at the cross that he showed the most incredible mercy. We'll be remembering that around the communion table in a bit, but think about it. Where was God's anger most poured out? Who paid the price? That propitiation for our sins. His anger was shown at the cross, and his mercy was shown at the cross. Christ paid the price for sin that we may be saved. That is mercy. That is a pure definition of mercy. That is the mercy that every creature needs. So perhaps more appropriately today, we need to be praying for God to revive, restore, refurbish, renew and reignite us, his church. That we would effectively and obediently and boldly remember and show and tell the world around us of their need for his mercy before it's too late. Next, Habakkuk looks back to what God has done in the past and forward to what he will do again in the future. Verse 3. I see God moving across the deserts from Edom, the Holy One coming from the Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with his praise. His coming is as brilliant as the sunrise. Rays of light flash from his hands, where his awesome power is hidden. He's singing this to his God. It's a prayer of praise. If you check out Deuteronomy 33:2 or Judges 5:4, you'll see that here Habakkuk is being reminded of God's incredible display of power. The incredible display of power when he brought Israel into the land that was called Canaan at the time. God showed his power at Sinai by controlling the sky with thunderous clouds and flashes of lightning to show his presence. Pestilence marches before him. Plague follows close behind. The Lord sent plagues and pestilence into the land of Egypt when Pharaoh refused to let the slaves go. If you've forgotten where that is, you can check it out again later on in Exodus 7-11. When he stops, the earth shakes. When he looks, the nations tremble. The walls of Jericho crumbled not because of anything that the Israelites did themselves, but because they obediently followed the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence, and stood there while God made the city tremble until it was destroyed. Joshua 6. He shatters the everlasting mountains and levels the eternal hills. He is the Eternal One. I see the people of Cushan in distress, the nation of Midian trembling in terror. The next section of Habakkuk's prayer of awe recounts the battle he sees God carrying out in the world. The wrath and anger is mighty. And like before, it's rooted in the story of God. The story of God and his people, his loved ones. Of the Red Sea and of the Jordan River, Yahweh split the waters in battle for his people. Exodus 13, Joshua 3. When Joshua and the Israelites meet an alliance of five nations near Jerusalem, at God's command, the sun and the moon stood still at the same battle. The Lord threw huge hailstones down on the enemy, Joshua 10. Was it in anger, Lord, that you struck the rivers and parted the sea? Were you displeased with them? No. You were sending your chariots of salvation. You brandished your bow and your quiver of arrows. You split open the earth with flowing rivers. The mountains watched and trembled. Onward swept the raging waters. The mighty deep cried out. Lifting its hands in submission, the sun and moon stood still in the sky as your brilliant arrows flew, as your glittering spear flashed. Though God is very angry, furious even, Habakkuk realizes that it is because of God's love for his people. You marched across the land in anger and trampled the nations in your fury. You went out to rescue your chosen people, to save your anointed ones. You crushed the heads of the wicked. You stripped their bones from head to toe. With his own weapons, you destroyed the chief of those who rushed out like a whirlwind, thinking Israel would be easy prey. You trampled the sea with your horses, and the mighty waters piled high. Yes, Lord, I see now that you have righteous anger. That's what Habakkuk is saying here. But not anger as humans are angry, but a righteous anger. We can never have a righteous anger because apart from in Christ, we're not righteous. But God has a righteous anger because of his love for his people. Verse 13, you went out to rescue your chosen people to a Savior anointed ones. And Habakkuk understands that not only did God do that once, not only did he do that in the past in Egypt, but that he will do it again. Because he's promised to do it again. Yes, to the Babylonians who he is using to discipline his people in Habakkuk's time. But of course, as with much biblical prophecy, there is a fuller fulfillment here, a further fulfillment. When the Lord will come mightily and forcefully, defeating not just a powerful nation or two, but all chaos everywhere. In the ancient Middle East, water represented chaos. And if you've ever seen a furious sea, you can see why. It represented chaos. So the strong imagery here in verses 8 to 15 of God showing his supremacy over the water, battling against the waters, controlling and changing them. All this shows God's power over not just the little battles, although he does have power over the little battles, but against the great cosmic battle of good, perfection, against evil. And Habakkuk is clear here. God wins. God wins. Don't ever doubt it. This is not an equal battle. God is in control. He is the sovereign God. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He is God. One of his creatures has rebelled against him, Satan. He is nothing compared to God. This is not an equal battle. God wins. Like Habakkuk, we can trust the truth that God wins. Remind yourself of that through the week. Does that mean that Habakkuk would get an easy life? Have an easy ride? Well, no, it doesn't. We've just seen some of what's happened. We read through Habakkuk. He's not having an easy time. He doesn't get an easy time. He certainly won't. It doesn't mean that at all. God has warned him of that. Until that final future fulfillment of God's promise, until that time, we, just as Habakkuk was, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Let me just read you Jesus' words from John 17, starting in verse 14. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. We have a promise of eternal safety. But for now, we are in the battle. We're in the battle, and we are on enemy-held territory. We must never forget that snidey snake Satan is temporarily calling the shots in the world. See, we aren't supposed to be comfortable in the here and now. And if you are very, very comfortable, ask yourself why. We're not supposed to be enjoying the occupation. Neither are we supposed to be fraternizing with the enemy. We're called to be in the resistance, holding firmly and loyally to the true King, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And as we hold firm, we're to follow his orders. We're to wear his armour. And we're to trust in his plan and his timing. And especially, we're to trust all of that when we just cannot understand how it's all panning out. Friends, you see, we are aliens. We are strangers. Let's just make sure we don't naturalize. So that's our situation. Let's carry on with our last part of Habakkuk's prayer of praise and see how he can give us some encouragement. And he can't help but encourage, because he's been encouraged himself. See, knowing God's strength, Habakkuk knows that he can trust God. Even though he can't understand what's going on, he can trust his Lord even in a crisis. I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I waited quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crops fail and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Now, humanly, I think looking at this, you might think, what? What has Habakkuk just had a bit too much sun? Has he finally lost the plot? See, we might think that humanly, mightn't we? But therein our problem lies. I wonder if you see what I mean here. See, sometimes we think, if God is so great and powerful, how come I'm going through all of this stuff? Why is this happening here? And why is this happening there? How come life is looking so dark? How come this is all happening to me? Well, from what we've learned from young Habakkuk here, we can see that if Habakkuk were here today and came across us asking that question, he would say something along the lines of, whoa, hang on a bit. He'd probably say it in Hebrew. Whoa, hang on a bit. Back up. Back up and look at things again from a different standpoint. You're starting in the wrong place. Why would he say that? Because Habakkuk would know that this was the wrong question and this was the wrong attitude. Instead, Habakkuk said, Lord, I know that you are perfect and you are good. I know that you're strong and I know that you're mighty. And if I don't completely understand your approach, in fact, I don't really understand it at all, Lord, I'm really not getting your plan. In fact, I'm turning into a fearful and an emotional wreck, and I wish this wasn't happening, Lord. In fact, it hurts so much at times, Lord, that I feel desolate, completely and utterly. But Lord, I know what you've done in the past. And I know who you are. I know what you promised for the future. And I know that you will not leave me in my presence. So Lord, I will praise you. I will praise you still. I will praise you more. And I will rejoice in you. Because there is no other God. And something incredible happens when we praise our God, when we lift our eyes from the things that we are looking at that are huge and big problems in front of us and around us. When we lift our eyes to the Lord, something incredible happens. Verse 19, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed and as a deer able to tread upon the heights. Now Habakkuk would have been around the region of Judea, and he'd have seen these deers, and if you've ever been to Israel, it is an incredible sight as you're wandering along high places, these sure-footed deer, they're still there, probably not the same ones. Don't think they live that long. But he knew the strength and he knew the agility that God would give him to navigate his life. Do you know that? We need it. Maybe here this morning, at this particular point in your life, you're thinking, well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. But you're not sitting where I'm sitting. You're not in my shoes. You're not struggling with all the stuff that's going on in my life. You've got no idea how much this hurts. It really hurts. Well, if that's you, I've got some sympathy with you. Because I know it hurts. And in my life, I will have had many versions and times of those hurts. It'll be different to yours. As will each one of us here. Because we've all had hurts. We'll all have hurts. I want to say this to any here this morning who are in a really deep, dark place today. Don't go away without speaking to me or speaking to Russell or to Joanna or Heidi or in fact any other Christian here this morning. So I want to assure you that your family here are here for you. We're here with you. And more importantly, Jesus is here for you. But here's the question we need to understand the answer to. How could Habakkuk, how can you, how can I honestly and genuinely say, yes, Lord, my country, my life, my circumstances, they get in a real mess at times. And I know that it can get worse before it can get better. But yes, Lord, I'm going to rejoice. I'm honestly going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm genuinely going to be joyful in the God of my salvation. And I'm going to call out from the rooftops, the sovereign Lord is my strength. And he does, and he will make me sure-footed as a deer. How exactly can Habakkuk do that? Well, the truth is, Habakkuk only got to that place once he had come close to God. Chapter 3 of Habakkuk would be waste of time, really, without having read chapters 1 and 2. See how close he came to God, how he poured his heart out to God, how he accepted that even though he is unable to understand it, unable to get his head and hands and heart around the whys and wherefores of God's plan. God is good. God is perfect. God is just. He could get his head around that. He could get his heart around that. And God is acting out of love for those he loves. Habakkuk got his head around that too. God has a plan. And it will happen according to that plan. And as we close, let's look at the way that Habakkuk was changed as he came close to God. And how the way that God wants to change us as we come closer to him. He started off depressed. But he was leaping up there with joy. Experiencing God's joy. His circumstances were the same. He'd gone from depression to joy. God can do that. He started off shouting at God. He ended up singing to God. God can do that to you. And for you. And with you. He started off demanding justice. Because he knows God's a God of justice. But he ended up asking for mercy. He started off impatiently demanding of God, but ended up patiently praising God. And lastly, I just want to say, at the beginning of the book, I mentioned that Habakkuk's name meant embrace or to wrestle. And we started off seeing Habakkuk wrestle, didn't we, with the tough questions. But his final response, what is it? It is to embrace God and to trust him. Pray that will be my response, and I pray that it will be your response too as we go out into the world again after this morning. Let's pray.